Right. Yeah. Brother, would you like to put it a bit higher? Because I have a very soft voice. I was trying to listen to my message. I recorded it and I said, I feel like I sound like a storyteller. So I think I should put more oomph in my voice. And Pastor Stefan said, no, just ask them to put it higher, louder. So the loudest as you can. But I'll try my best to be able to know how to preach as powerful as, no, I think we are as we are. Right? So, yes. Had we learned about Jesus, if you were listening with your heart prepared every time you come here in the past few weeks, you could have somehow a knowledge of the God we trust and of the God we believe in. And I know and I believe that you did. Otherwise, you won't be here today. Okay, before we go on, let's pray. This prayer I wanted to put in your heart because I believe that there's nothing impossible. God is continuously blessing this church. God is continuously shaking all of you and letting you know that you are living with the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Father, as we began this preaching, oh Father, Lord, I pray that your word will come into us and with knowledge we would go on to the race that we have started on following you, oh Lord Jesus. There's so many prayers in my heart, oh God. First, about the congregation, oh Lord. I give you thanks for sending these people to this congregation, people that you had selected and chose, that one day they will be going outside and telling more about you. Father, you chose them. And Father, you give them all a good heart. Thank you so much, Lord. Father, I know there's nothing impossible to you, oh God. But I pray, Father, for a big church. The number is important to you. Because there's number, there are more souls, oh Lord. Use us, help us. Put us in a position where we can tell people about you. I do not ask that they come to this church, but they go to church and find you, oh God. You said, you will seek for me, and you will find me if you find me with all your heart. If you will seek me with all your heart. So, Father, put it in our hearts, in people's heart, to people that we meet along the way, those people that you chose to come and that you chose to partner with you in bringing the kingdom of heaven to each and every one of us. Father, it is also not impossible that we will have our own building, oh God. So I pray for it. I pray for it and stand firm on that prayer and on that belief that one day this church will grow and there will be our own building. Father, the third prayer that I'm wanting from you, that I'm wanting to ask you, is the current pandemic, oh God, which is devastating the whole world. Over 11 million are sick, oh Father. This will affect not only the families, but the economy, and the whole world will change. But Father, you have a purpose. We go against this, oh God. If your purpose is to bring everyone into their knees, oh God, to ask you, then Father, thank you. So Father, we knock on your heart. I know there's nothing impossible. I know you answer prayer. And as we go along to talk more about you, Father, open my mouth. Let your word come out of this mouth that you use to talk about you and to let us learn more about you, because the more we know you, the more we love you, and the more we know that you are supreme and almighty as God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right. You could reinforce my prayer by praying the same. Okay. The topic for the last 7 weeks is who is Jesus? Our study has been about the Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, the friend of Peter, James, John, and the other apostles. We have learned about his love, his teaching, him as a prophet, a wise teacher, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. His life was recorded in the gospel. He is the one whom about the gospel preach, the object of the faith of the Christian community. We read the four gospels. They've been recorded by the apostles. And the apostles loved him. So we do not think that the writing is biased. And that is our primary source of knowing our God. The primary source, the New Testament, of knowing about Jesus. Plus the findings and records of our scientists and archaeologists and other things that they found, which tells that the Bible, whatever they wrote, is true. And that writers love Jesus. And when you love someone, you tell and you know how he or she is. And what you heard from the previous teachings were all written by the people that love Jesus. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Just to recap, they must have talked about it. Jesus is a man. Jesus of Nazareth is a man. An individual male of the human species. Which remind me, Mary and I and our friend Evelyn were having coffee, and we started, oh, do you know that we belong to the limited edition? I said, yeah. No, we are the special species or extinct species. So, I mean, if you reach some age, you are now a part of the limited edition. I call it special edition. So we have learned of Jesus' love, his teaching, him as a prophet, a wise teacher, his crucifixion and resurrection. And this life of him showed us who he is really. As a conclusion, we first start with unveiling more of Jesus as a man. He is an individual male of the human species. He is not some kind of half man, half God, if that's what you're thinking. He's not Superman either. He does not have a unique humanity that puts him in a species and all on his own. Okay? His body was a human body, just like ours. His psyche was a human psyche, just like ours. He did not have, his feelings were human. He got angry, he got lonely, he got hungry, all of those feelings that we feel as human. His way of coming to clarity, of pondering, deciding, and responding is human, just like ours. He did not have some secret information or some secret source of information that enabled him to bypass the ordinary processes we have to go through as human. When we watch him not physically as he is written and shown by the gospel, we are watching one man's way of a human being. It's true that there is no two person alike. No two people are the same. That's true. We all share what we term as human nature, which is one way of speaking that we have limitation, right? We were not able In making our decision, we do it in our own personal ways. You might say, I'll go here, and I'll say, I'll go there. That's our uniqueness. We are unique as we are. We may not be able to do everything Jesus did. We cannot, like the miracles or healing. But the disciples, with the power that was given to them or left to them by Jesus, they were able to do it. But us, we can too. But we'll talk about that later. We may not be able to do that because we are who we are. But Jesus, his insight, his experience, his decisions, his courage, and his faithful love, as well as his faith, were all human qualities of a remarkable person. We will find out, as a man, he is different, although he's a human being like ours. Jesus was a man like us. So he therefore had to live within limits of human nature. However, there is something that he did that's beyond human nature. He did not sin. So we must take seriously the fact that Jesus, a man like us, was capable of such self-giving, such freedom, such love. We must take also seriously his faith. For it was his faith that was the spring from which everything flowed. What is the opposite of faith? You're here because you have faith. But sometimes, what is the opposite of faith? Doubt. And you know what else? Fear. You say you have faith to get well. At the back of your neck, you're afraid that you might not get well. Fear is always there. But the faith, remember Jesus said, if you have the faith of as small as a mustard seed. Because he knows he could not have that faith that he has towards his Father. So, Abba, well, he is the one that called God Abba. You know, it's a term, it's a human word. It's a human word from him that says Abba, Father. A human word arising in the human psyche of a man. So, it is also possible that we could share that intimacy of Jesus to God. We could also call him Abba. We call him Father. We call him my Lord and my God. However, as we experience this, the Spirit flooding in our hearts, we also can have that intimacy that Jesus had. Remember, he is a man. And he was murdered by those who think or consider themselves the official custodian of the truth. But Jesus continued to believe. He continued to hope. And he continued to love right to his death. When you know when he was on the cross, he still showed his love to the one that asked him. And when he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But Jesus, up to that time, was a man. Until the word came, it is finished. Now let's talk about Jesus as God. Jesus of Nazareth, the same Jesus whom we said a man, is also the one and only living true God. I'm actually going into the truth of the Trinity because many people do not believe. Many people has different view. Many people has different explanation. But after this, you would know what is the Trinity really. In the Gospel of John, Thomas revered and exalted Jesus and addressed him, my Lord and my God. Jesus is God. So in the writings of the apostles in the gospel, in a way they could not comprehend. I'm pretty sure still a lot of us could not comprehend, could not understand. But the truth is, Jesus wants to be with us. He is God, He is a spirit. We are mankind. We are covered or we are limited by matter, by space and time. He's not. So the one thing that He did before, He talked to Abraham, to Jacob, and to the prophets. But people, mankind, still maintain their unbelief. How could He get in touch with His people to save them? He came down and be like us in the name of Jesus. Now, the apostles in their gospel, they could not comprehend really, but they found themselves responding to Jesus in the way until now had been reserved for the mystery that they called God. Their respond and their experience with Jesus is something that they cannot even understand. That why they called Him my Lord and my God. Why they call Him to go Lazarus is dead. These things that He did, they still could not comprehend. But the reverence they have is for someone who is really God. Perhaps God touched them, isn't it? Perhaps the presence of Jesus there is just like you in the presence as we sing today. The power of the Holy Spirit is in us. That's why we continuously worship. That's why our heart changes and our mind is floating because His presence is there. So that's how I believe it is. Oh, hang on. That's the problem. Okay. So Jesus' love is God's love. Who could love people the way He loves? When we say, I love you because you're my brothers and sisters, because we go to the same church, I can come to you anytime you need me. But how about other people? If they come to me, those who don't, if you walk and you saw someone there who is shabbily, scruffly dressed with tattoos all over, with an angry face, what do? You walk the other way.
Yeah,
you're scared. Yeah, you're scared. As if you're in isolation. I walk this way and the people coming here, I go this way, they go this way. We're trying to avoid. Or sometimes you try to avoid people, especially when you meet them and smells. Can we love as Jesus loves? There is no other love as God's love. And that is the kind of love that Jesus showed to the people. A love that is unconditional. A love that does not look at who you are, what you are. You are a creation. You are a person. You are a human being. And I created you. And I love you. Jesus' love is God's love. His forgiveness was experienced as forgiveness, as God's forgiveness. It's not like I forgive you today. I know that you did something wrong to me, but I will never ever talk to you. That's not forgiveness. We forgive saying, okay, that's nothing anymore. But still, it's still in here. You carry it. It becomes a baggage unto you. You know, in identifying Jesus as God, the apostles, in their gospels, they were conscious that Jesus was not God the Father. He was God as Son. He was God as Word. He was God as man. That was, He was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So, Jesus as man, Jesus as God. How about Jesus' self-knowledge? Remember, the writing of the apostles were taken out of their experience of how they lived with him and how they experienced him, what he has done, okay? Did Jesus know that he was God as a man? Did he say, "I am God"? Did Jesus know that he was God? Well, before we explore the question and to present some consideration on that matter, let us clarify what we are asking. And the obvious place to go to find answer to our question is the New Testament, the Gospels. We claim the Gospels are true to who Jesus was and to his aims and minds and attitude. Don't you think the disciples were not watching him or talking about him when he's out? Don't you think they say, "He's such a man, his ways, his attitude, his manners, it's such impossible that we could follow him. And his decision, his thinking. Have you talked to someone who answers you right away with wisdom? Sometimes, let me see, I'll take a look at my book first. But he answers, he's a rabbi with authority. Have you, you're here when I talk about him as a rabbi with authority, remember? Okay, we claim the Gospels are true to who Jesus was and his aims and minds and attitude. John did not claim that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus did. He said, "I am the light." Isn't he that it was said? What else did he say? "I am he." When Pilate asked him, "Are you the king?" "Yes, I am the king, but not in this kingdom." So he knows he is God. Because physically, without the presence of God in him, his answers will be different. He could, his attitude will be different. So the presence of the Lord, the presence of God is in him. Therefore, he is God, and he knows it. He knows that he has a mission. He knows that he came down here to earth for that mission. Not to make the bad people good, but to make dead people live. Now let's go to the doctrine of the Trinity. Without Jesus, let's say there's no Jesus. Let's say that God did not come down to earth as him. We will only think of God as a unique, solitary being. Up there, old man with a stick to tell us that you're wrong, do this and do that. That is, my mom used to tell me if I'm naughty, God will get angry with you, just watch. So I thought, there's an angry God. So anyway, praise the Lord that I was awakened. So coming to know the God he called Father, and coming to know Jesus as God the Son, and coming to know the Holy Spirit, Jesus' disciple came to know God as Trinity. Remember before he left, "I will not leave you orphans. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit that will be your arbiter, your lawyer, your guide, your direction." Remember God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In the beginning, he was there. In the New Testament, he was there as Jesus. And when Jesus' turn is finished, he left. He came as the Holy Spirit. That's all what it is. It is not like two persons and a separate identity. It is God himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what the Gospels tells us. After all has been revealed, Christians believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, while distinct as object of understanding, And this thing of subject of relationship are the one and only God. We might not be able to grasp this. However, we might not be able to grasp this about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but, and also we may not be able to comprehend the truth. But, as Jesus said, I will leave you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is within us. The truth will live in you. So, in conclusion, the effect of the experiences of the disciple with Jesus, revealing him as God, must be taken seriously. Some people, why do we have to have Jesus when there is God? Because they don't believe that it is God himself that came. Recognizing that his human life was complete, it was completed. And the trustworthy statement of the way God has chosen to reveal himself. Jesus is the revelation of God. Here's the climax of the conclusion. Do you know in Acts 3, 1 to 10, brother, could you put that on? Acts 10, verse 3. There was a crippled man from birth. Acts 3, 1 to 10. It's a story of the crippled man from birth, is it? It's better that, because this will be the end of, before some of you fall asleep, I want to wake you up first. Acts 3, 1 to 10. That's what I said. I have to put my microphone louder so no one can sleep. They will be annoyed. I think we will change it. We have coffee first, so you're alert. Oh, wait. Yeah, I think we are allowed to have coffee while listening to the sermon. We just see each other 1 hour a week. Come on, bear with me. Okay, let's read it. One day, going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. How did they know it was 3:00? Come on, brother. Oh, there's no watch than that. It was maybe okay. What's next? Okay, come on, let's read it. Now a man was lame from birth.
The temple gate called Beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
He was put every day to beg from those going in the temple courts.
Okay, next.
When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as he is John.
Then Peter said,
so the man gave him his attention.
Look at us. Okay, brother, come and share the mobiles. May he not come and visit. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said,
silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
Taking him by the right hand, he helped
him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He charmed his feet and began to walk. Then he ran with him to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Amen. The gate called Beautiful. Yeah. I'll call, Stefan is building a gate, I'll call it Beautiful.
Beautiful gate.
The man was crippled from birth. Wanting you to follow me, because this is how we are going to live the next step after learning about Jesus. after knowing that He is God that came down to reveal Himself to us and living His Spirit and coming as a Holy Spirit. The man was crippled from birth. Whatever, all of us is wanting to know the Lord deeply. But there are forces that are crippling us. We should know, there are things that cripple us. When the word cripple is, you cannot walk. What did He say? Stand up and walk. As Christians, perhaps we are not walking properly. Perhaps sometimes we are still crippled by some facts that we do not know is holding us. What is hindering you? There's always things that will hinder, especially this which is called sin, that clings to us so easily and keep on running with us steadily or to the race that we have started. We've started to be Christians. We know Him more. We follow Him as much as we can. But there are still things that cripple us. Do not accept the word, oh, we're only human being, as Pastor Paul said. God in spirit is within us. We are also a triune being. The spirit, the soul, and this body. I wish God made a better body, though. I'm not complaining, okay? I used to. But then, okay, so what we do? If there's things that cripple you, it's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us not lose the sight of Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. There are so many distortion or confusion. If you listen to the teaching of the atheists, the Mormons, and other religion with idols, and then you said, quite true. Even the Dalai Lama tells, but they tell about humanity. They are not telling the truth about God's love. Because God's love is the foundation of your change. When you look at a person and God's love is overflowing, you will change your attitude. The things that hinders you and cripples you, if you would not lose the sight of Jesus, it will help you in your running to the race that you have started. We should not allow this confusion or distortion to lose the sight of Jesus, which is also the largest, largely the reason for abandoning churches and increasing of agnosticism and atheism. Somewhere along the line, especially you young people, you'll be reading books and listening to people that will distort your belief, the belief that we have. They would say about Jesus that it's not true. Remember, we have discussed this in the past few weeks. Our aim has been to clarify who the real Jesus of Nazareth is, so that whatever the forces crippling us, we will not lose sight of Him. Without some real knowledge of the real Jesus, we would not have the courage to face what is crippling us. Only the real Jesus can remove false religion and lies that will keep us in spiritually numb and can encourage us. Let us not lose the sight of Jesus so that we can get up and walk and walk and walk the race that we started. Why am I telling this? Along the way, there would be people that will be talking to you. To hold on tight to your faith and to your belief, because that's the truth. Jesus, whom we have discovered, lived in the real world and was concerned with the real people. He named and opposed vigorously anything which makes it difficult for people to live. If there's any hardship, anything that worries you, Jesus is the answer. He incurred, of course, opposition. You will incur opposition. Do you know how all the apostles died? They died terribly. Some of them were hung. Some of them were skinned alive. Some of find out how their death was. But they still trusted him and believed in them, and they believed in the world and the future. This was because Jesus revealed them God, the powerful love of Yahweh, the Redeemer God. Our world is desperately crippled, desperately hungry for meaning and thirsty for love. Too much idolatry, too much false religion, too many false Jesus. For us who claim to follow Jesus has an obligation in this world. That when we present Jesus as the answer to the modern illnesses, it is the real Jesus we represent. He is the revelation of the one and only God. He is the only one whom we can be saved, as in Acts 4, 1-4-2. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God. May we remember this and live with it. May we be strong and courageous on any hindrance that will cripple our walk towards you, O God. May we not be distorted or confused by the things that are happening in this world, that we will denounce you, O Lord. May this COVID-19 not crippled us and would not believe, but rather, Father, we will look beyond that. That we will always look beyond on things that hinders us. Holy Father, you are our only strength. Our victory lies on you, O God. Yes, we are mere people. Yes, we are mere human being. But you created us and you love us. And at the same time, Father, you equipped us. So, Father, make our hearts stronger for you. Stronger towards you, O God. Father, I always pray, use us. Make us usable. Let us live with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, oh God. May you be with us always, as you have promised, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, I thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.
Everyone, Seba, for that powerful message about Jesus. So it's very important for us to learn who Jesus is.